Okay, let's move on now to the next slide, slide 24. The next two slides are going to cover some of the deduplication behavior in a little bit more detail. And I've made some of these points already, but just to reiterate, deduplication will take place for sequential access storage pools. These are also known as file storage pools. And it will be optional, so it can be activated at the storage pool level. The deduplication will be performed on the TSM server and will be tracked in the database, as I've said. Now, what this allows then is it will allow for reduction of redundancy for data that for data objects that are identical, that are either stored on a single client node or across multiple nodes. So if 1,000 people all have Windows XP and they have the same basic operating system files, those would be viewed as being redundant and would be, there would be data reduction by storing those files only one time. Additionally, there will be data reduction at the subfile level. So if many of us have almost the same PowerPoint slide, the same PowerPoint presentation, but we've all made minor changes in them, then those portions that are common would still be deduplicated. A deduplication will take place post-ingestion, or in other words, out of band. So that will minimize the impact to backup windows. As I've already pointed out, the actual space recovery will take place during reclamation, and I've alluded to the fact that there are some advantages to doing it that way. We have considered alternative approaches, but this one we think does have some unique advantages. One of the real advantages of doing it on the TSM server is that deduplication will work for all types of data. So it'll work for backup, archive, if you have specialized API applications that use the API, that kind of data will be reduced, any of the data protection products, and so on. Client access to deduplicated objects will be transparent. So if an end user has backed up data that has become deduplicated, they will then be able to bring up the GUI, they'll be able to see their files, they'll be able to restore them, and they really won't know that the data has been deduplicated. As far as they're concerned, it looks like their data is stored uniquely, and they don't realize that they actually have that some of their data is stored in common with data from other client nodes, for example. Okay, moving on to slide 25, a few more of the details regarding the implementation. New clients will not need to be deployed, nor will new API applications need to be deployed, and that is a benefit of being able to do this on the server. It will be possible to deduplicate legacy data, and so what that means is, let's say data has already been stored, by moving it into a file storage pool that is activated for deduplication, or simply by turning on deduplication for an existing file storage pool, any data in that pool will then be deduplicated. As I've already pointed out, data that gets either migrated to tape or gets copied to tape will not be stored in deduplicated manner, so it will be reduplicated and stored so that each file is stored in its entirety. And that avoids excessive mounting and positioning that would occur if the data were deduplicated. Now, deduplication is resource intensive. There is a fair amount of processing involved in going through and actually looking for the identical data. And so there will be some significant ability to control how many processes do this, when they run, and the duration of those processes. So it will be possible to set it up, for example, that data gets ingested during certain parts of the day, and then in the background, deduplication will run during other hours. Or maybe, at night there will be two deduplication processes running, and at other times of the day there might be five. So a lot of control there. There will be reporting of the space savings via deduplication. Now, I've mentioned several times that deduplication and encryption don't work real well together. Any data that has been encrypted on the TSM client will not be deduplicated very effectively, but if there is encryption in the storage device, then that should be fine. And then finally, it should be obvious that this is a native TSM solution. There will not be any dependency on specific hardware. Going on to slide 26 now, let me just go over some of the details about how this will work. Let's say there's a client one, client number one, that backs up files A, B, C, and D to the TSM server. They get stored in their entirety. Now a second client, client two, backs up files E, F, and G, and those files will also be stored in their entirety in a sequential access disk storage pool. Now there will be a process that goes through the server and actually looks for identical data. And let's say it detects that chunk C1 of file C is identical to chunk A1. It finds that chunk E2 is identical to B1, and it finds that chunk G1 is identical to E3. That's represented by the red arrows in the lower left-hand corner. The next time reclamation processing runs, these redundant chunks will be eliminated, and thereby reducing the amount of space occupied in the disk storage pool. Slide 27 compares data reduction methods in TSM, and basically shows with client compression, incremental forever, subfile backup, and deduplication how these will compare. I think you're all familiar with the method that's used in each one. The second line about conservation of disk storage pool space, all of these will save storage pool space. The first three methods will reduce network bandwidth usage. However, our initial implementation of deduplication will not reduce network bandwidth. So that will be one difference versus some of the other methods. Now let's look at the data that's actually supported. If you look at client compression, that will work for backup, archive, HSM data, API data. Incremental forever is only backup, so it's limited there. Subfile backup is also backup only, and it's actually only for Windows, whereas deduplication will work for all types of data. Now, if we look at the scope of data reduction, each of these has a somewhat limited scope until you get to data deduplication. So for client compression, the scope of data reduction is just the data within a single file. So any redundant patterns of data within that file can be reduced, but if two different files have some redundancy, that's not going to be removed through client compression. Similarly, for incremental forever, it's restricted to a single file. And if that file changes, then only then does it have to be backed up. But if two different files have some common data, that redundancy won't be removed. Subfile backups will be restricted also to a single file. But it will be portions of files that do not change. So any portions of files that do not change from one version to another, that redundancy will be removed. In contrast, data deduplication will span all files within the storage pool, regardless of the node that the data came from. Now, if we look at then the effect of these data reduction methods with regard to what happens if files are renamed, copied, maybe relocated, none of the first three methods will achieve data reduction if the file is the same but it gets moved or gets renamed or whatever, until you get to data deduplication. And in this case, yes, there will be data reduction even if files have been renamed or moved. And similarly, data deduplication does allow for removal of redundant data, even for files belonging to different nodes, whereas the other methods do not support that. Let's go on to slide 28. Slide 28 shows some thoughts about when deduplication might make sense for a TSM customer. Deduplication would be worth considering if there is a need to improve recovery by storing more data objects on a limited amount of disk. So if RTO, for example, is an objective, but there's not enough disk space to put all data on disk, then that should be considered. Data really should be stored on disk for an extended period of time for that to make sense. So, for customers who use TSM in the traditional way where data gets stored to disk and then gets migrated within a day or 2 days or even a week, they shouldn't be bothering with data deduplication unless they're going to change that paradigm, because there's a lot of processing involved in data deduplication, and there's no point in doing it if the data is just going to be migrated to tape and then reduplicated. The customer might also consider the amount of data redundancy. If there's a lot of common data, operating system files or common project files, then that might make sense to deduplicate. And then finally, deduplication will be somewhat resource intensive. And so customers who use this with TSM are going to have to make sure that their TSM server has adequate CPU and I/O resources. And then I've kind of the flip side of that is when would deduplication not be considered? You might not want to consider it for mission-critical data just because there may be delays in accessing multiple chunks. Maybe it's just not worth that for mission-critical data. And certainly for servers that do not have sufficient resources, deduplication would not be a good solution. Okay, the next slide, slide 29, points out that what we've been talking about so far is with regard to deduplication in TSM is what will be delivered in the next release. But we expect to be able to extend that in follow-on releases. And so this slide lists some of the possible follow-ons. We mentioned that deduplication will initially be out of band, but we could add the capability or add an option to be able to do that in line. We certainly can and probably will add the capability for client-side deduplication. And we believe that will complement the server-side deduplication very well. So in a follow-on release, it certainly may be that we have client-side deduplication, which would conserve network bandwidth and also would distribute the processing to all the client machines. We may provide the capability to control which hash function is used. And there's a trade-off here between performance and the probability of a false match. So a stronger hash means a reduced probability of a false match, but there's also a lot of performance hit. And we could even take that a step further and instead of just using a stronger hash function, actually do a byte-by-byte compare. We have considered that we may do deduplication for random access disk or even for tape storage pools in the future. And then there may be some additional policies for controlling what data gets deduplicated, where it might be controlled. Deduplication might be performed by node, by file space, maybe based on the file size, some other kind of criteria. Okay, so going on to slide 30 then, the wrap-up here. The benefits of data deduplication is that it can reduce storage requirements and really allow for faster access of data than would be the case if data has to be stored on tape because there simply is not enough room on disk for it. But there are a lot of trade-offs involved in deduplication. They involve the degree of compression, what there are performance considerations, risk of data loss, albeit small, and then there's compatibility with encryption. I want to point out again that TSM's current methodology for incremental forever, or also known as progressive incremental, really does greatly reduce the amount of redundant data, and so there will be less benefit for deduplication with TSM data than there would be for, say, other competitive backup products. And you want to be sure to keep that in front of your customers as you talk to them about this. And then finally, to summarize, server-side deduplication is something that is planned for the next release of TSM, and we believe that that will be a significant new feature for TSM. So with that, that brings me to the end of the presentation. Sorry we got started a little late and ran a little over on the presentation, but we'll open it up now for questions and comments. So Evelyn, if you would please open up to the audience.
Yes, sir. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question, and we will start first with David Larimer.
Hey, Dave. This is Dave Larimer, of course. Got a question for you on how would dedupe work in a BTL environment, which is essentially disk, or in type equals file for TSM?
Well, I think, let's say that you have a customer who is using a BTL that has the capability for deduplication, and many of them do. I think you'd want to use one or the other. You wouldn't want to combine them. Does that answer the question, or?
I was thinking more along the lines of it doesn't have, the BTL doesn't have dedupe.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, TSM wouldn't make any difference, but other products I'm just trying to figure out how this would work, or you know, theoretically in a sequential type of environment. You were saying that it doesn't work well in sequential. Well, VTL is somewhat of a crossbreed between those two.
Right. If I said deduplication does not work well in sequential, I was misunderstood, or I didn't say that correctly. TSM's deduplication solution will work only for sequential access disk initially. It will not work for random access disk.
Ah, okay.
So
okay.
There may have been a little misunderstanding on that.
Good.
Now, that said, VTL is going to be presented as a piece of tape, and so TSM is going to think it's tape and it's not going to want to deduplicate it. So there may be some way around that or whatever, but, you know, TSM's deduplication solution is intended for native use. In other words, with, say, traditional sequential access disk storage pools. If somebody wants to use a VTL, preferably it would be a VTL that has deduplication, and they would use the deduplication within the VTL itself.
Okay, that's basically what I want to know.
Okay, great. Before we get too many more questions, let me invite Tricia. I know she wanted to jump in here. I don't know if there's a fixed order that these have to come in, but
thank you again, Dave, for giving this presentation. And I just wanted to let everybody know that we are working on two pieces of collateral that are going to be ready here in the next week or so. The first one is going to be a positioning brief, which will be basically discussing data deduplication with your Tivoli Storage Manager customers. And the second one will be a competitive brief on the deduplication capabilities against like Commvault, EMC, and Symantec. And once these are available, I will send them out an alert, and I'll also make sure that they're posted both on the competitive site as well as on our Extreme Leverage and Atom Partner World. And let's go ahead and open it up again for questions.
And we will move next to Bill Bates with IBM.
Hey, Dave, great presentation. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a number of questions. Just to clarify, the dedupe capabilities in what release of TSM? Did you say 5.5?
No, it will not be in 5.5. It will be in the next release after 5.5. And that will actually be 6.1, although the name of that release is regarded as confidential. But for those of you who are aware of the next release, the roadmap for next releases, it will be 6.1, which is confidentially scheduled for the very end of 2008.
Do you know if it's going to be a chargeable item?
The intent at this point is that it would not be chargeable.
And the DB2 also included with TSM now, is that 6.1 also?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And do you anticipate that the TSM servers are going to have to be resized by our SEs if they're going to use dedupe?
Well, that's a good question, because they will use resources, and if the server is undersized to start with, adding deduplication is only going to put more of a load on them.
It's possible.
Yeah. So, I don't know how to answer that, because it's going to vary a lot depending on the data and the size of the server and the capacity and the load that's already on the server. But I would not want to introduce this. For a customer who's already on the edge, let's say.
Right, I got you. Okay. All right, thanks again.
You bet.
And our next question comes from Donald Knott with IBM.
Hi, Dave. Great presentation. Yeah, I was wondering, are you going to have any kind of modeling tool for this as it becomes closer to available that would, a customer could put in some of the parameters about their type of data, how many sources, whether they use encryption methodologies, whatever, they would give them some kind of an idea of the ratio that they would obtain when they went to deduplication.
Yeah, that's a really good comment, and I don't know the answer to that. We have we've talked about it. The problem, I guess, is that all of a sudden we're getting an echo. Anyhow, let's see, Donald, that just started. I don't know if you can mute or something, or maybe I can't mute, really. But anyhow, maybe the operator...
I tried going on mute, and it didn't help, so...
Okay. Well, anyhow, I'll try to ignore it. So modeling. We thought about having some kind of a preview that would allow a customer to kind of try it, just to see what's going to happen and how much data you know, how much space savings there's going to be. The problem is, in order to do that, you really almost have to do the deduplication in order to try it. So I guess the answer is we don't really know. We recognize that it would be very valuable to have that. Now, I think you were suggesting more of a model where you just, like a spreadsheet kind of thing, you input a bunch of values. I don't know how accurate that would be. We were thinking more of a, you know, a thing that actually runs it, where you maybe take, you know, 2% of all the data and maybe back it up under a different node and try it in a trial mode and just see how much space savings there would be, you know, something like that. Certainly, if there are suggestions, we'd be interested in, you know, what would add the most value, but it's not really clear how to do it at this point.
Okay, thanks.
And once again, that is star one. If you would like to ask a question, we will move now to Chris Duffy with Copen System.
How you doing? Great presentation. Thanks.
Thank you.
So most of my questions are actually already answered with regards to VTL dedupe, but just some clarity on the 6.1 release that's targeted for end of 2008?
That's correct. That's the current schedule, subject to change, of course.
Okay. Is there any availability prior to that for beta or for integration purposes?
That's a good question. I'm pretty confident there will be, but I don't know the schedule. It turns out that 6.1, as you might imagine, because it is a version change, will be a very, you know, major release, one of the big things being the TSM database, you know, changing to DB2, and that is actually out right now in kind of a preview mode. So we have a few customers that are able to touch that, feel it, and use it, but the deduplication capability is not in it. So I would get, and we do have a kind of a sequence of releases, not releases, but let's say early releases coming out between now and the GA date. And in one of those, I'm sure we'll have deduplication. I would guess it would be maybe, I'm just guessing, you know, probably middle of next year or so.
All right. Thank you.
And we will go now to James DeKessler with IBM.
Hi, it's DeCesar. Thanks. Close enough. Quick, I did hear my questions asked, but I wanted to, can we please validate how this works with a VTL? Because I guess I don't understand it completely. Will it work with a VTL? Are we saying it's really for customers who only use the TSM disk pool?
It's really intended for customers who use sequential access disk storage. So that would be also known as a file pool. So just off the top of my head, I'm not seeing how that would work with a VTL, because the VTL is going to look like tape to TSM. I mean, TSM doesn't know that it's virtual tape. As far as TSM is concerned, I mean,
right.
That's the whole point of a VTL, is it emulates tape. And so TSM is going to look at that and say, oh, it's tape. I don't deduplicate. You know, will there be some way around that? Perhaps. But there would, you know, but that's not the intent at this point.
And our next question comes from William Mansfield with Logicalis.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for the great talk. Two questions. First, this looks like it's incompatible with LAN-3 backup. And second, how does this work for the server device class? One of the things that VTL touts with deduplication is sending less data across the wire to another site. Is this compatible with the server device class?
Okay, so let's take those one at a time. First of all, LAN-3, I don't see any reason why it would not be compatible with LAN-3. Remember that in TSM, the deduplication will take place out of band. So that's it doesn't matter how the data got to TSM. After that, whether it got there over the network or got there via SAN, it will be deduplicated. So there's no reason that I can think of why it would be incompatible. Now, as far as so were you asking about server to server, then virtual volumes?
That's correct.
Okay, so virtual volumes. Let me think about that. I don't know that that's come up before. I guess it would be possible to deduplicate with virtual volumes. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's no reason why it couldn't be. You could have virtual volumes that are basically sequential access volumes, so I believe it would work.
Yeah, and in particular, I'm thinking on the target server, you'd have a file device class over there, maybe smaller than the source server, that would then migrate and reduplicate out to a regular tape pool, perhaps?
Yeah. I would be a little concerned about virtual volumes, just in the sense that with virtual volumes, you know, every time a virtual volume has to be reclaimed, the data has to be pulled back from the target to the source, processed, and then sent back to the target again. And with deduplication, that could be performed, let's say, more often, or at least there could, you know, because it's, you know, because of the very nature of deduplication and reclamation with deduplication, there could be a lot more of that processing. So that could actually produce quite a bit of network traffic.
Understood. Well, as you move forward with this, see what the possibilities are for that, because I see that as one of my major applications for this anyway.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch what the question was.
Well, it's not a question. As you move forward with the design for this, make sure you look at that, because I see this as one of the major applications for using deduplication is to reduce network traffic in this case.
Well, again, by its nature, with its out-of-band nature, it's that data would be stored. I mean, I guess it might be possible to store it initially on a local sequential access disk, then move it to a second sequential access disk, which is virtual volumes, but only do that after it's been deduplicated, and
right.
So then maybe it saves some space. So, you know, maybe by setting things up right, there may be some savings there, but... we'll have to keep that in mind. I don't really have a definitive answer on that.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
And next we will go to Alan Schwerz with IBM.
Nice presentation. Thanks.
Thank you.
Most of my questions have been answered. I think I just had still thinking through the VTL thing. I would think that would this offering would eliminate the requirement to have a VTL because I have several customers here where I live that currently have VTL options in place, having some issues with them. If we had an integrated solution, perhaps it would eliminate the need for those types of offerings. And you said that we're not having, there's nothing in the 5.5 release specific to data deduplication. I thought there was something where they were talking about file level data deduplication, or is that?
I don't know. This is why we give a disclaimer at the beginning that say things can change. So we've talked in the past, I've talked in the past about what we call redundant file reduction or elimination, and at some time in the past we might have thought that was going to be in 5.5. Roadmaps do change, but at this point there is nothing you know, involving data deduplication in 5.5.
Okay, thank you.
This is Tricia Jong again. I wanted to jump in and say we will leave the questions open for a while, but if you do have follow-on questions, please send them on to me. My email is Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A, at us.ibm.com. Once again, T-R-I-C-I-A, at us.ibm.com.
And, Tricia, there's been a couple of areas that, like the question about VTL has come up several times, and I mean, certainly that's something that, you know, we might give some further thought to or keep it in mind as we go forward, and if maybe you know, perception on that changes or I want to add or clarify or even correct what I've said, I guess I would direct that to you and then you could pass that information on.
Absolutely.
And also the question about virtual volumes is one that I haven't heard much, haven't thought about it. So, you know, again, as we get a better idea on that, I might pass that back to you.
We will now take a question from Bill McCourt with IBM.
Hi. Most of my questions actually have already been asked and answered, but Tricia, this one's probably for you. I'm wondering if we're hearing from the user community about the demand for this within a TSM environment, specifically, you know, ADSM.org. I mean, is there a lot of chatter about that in TSM environments as opposed to just talking about deduplication in general?
So I don't know on ADSM.org specifically, but I do hear questions all the time from customers about the dedupe and how it works with TSM and what type of savings we'll get, especially because a lot of our a lot of the hardware pieces, like the NetApp, came out with some announcements on TSM with dedupe, and so that's just generated more questions on if we will have native and how that'll work.
And the conversations that I have with various customers seem to indicate that they have less of an understanding of dedupe than they think they do. Is that kind of an accurate statement across the board as far as the market is concerned? Everyone says dedupe, oh, wow, it sounds like a great idea, but don't necessarily take into account the pros and cons of actually implementing it.
I think that's very true, and I think the first part of Dave's presentation really summed up all the different terms that get confused, as well as all the different types of offerings that are out there and the different value different customers will get from dedupe.
Yeah, the concern I have is customers read, you know, just look at it very superficially, and they see some, you know, hype from a particular vendor that says 200-to-1 savings, and they say, wow, you know, I can get rid of, you know, or I can get all my data packed into, you know, this very small amount of disk space, and they're really not getting underneath it enough to understand the trade-offs and, you know, and understand where those numbers come from and everything. So I was hoping to kind of demystify some of that, let's say. With regard to the interest, I'm definitely seeing a lot of interest, both from customers as well as from IBM and BPs. It's a little hard for me at this point to assess whether this is just interest where people are trying to sort through, you know, what's the hype and what's for real and how much are really serious people that, you know, customers who really want to implement. And that's not real clear to me at this point.
Okay, so I guess the follow-on question that just popped into my head was, beyond this education that you're giving to business partners and IBM sellers, are we going to have sort of a ramp-up or an accelerated pace for our SEs and our sellers that will allow us to really peel back the layers of the onion when a customer comes in and says, we need dedupe, we need it now?
Absolutely. We're going to be coming out with these two positioning papers, and then the enablement team will be talking more about dedupe and our roadshows coming up. And then as more information comes out and as we get closer to 6.1, we'll have additional training there also. One other thing to mention is that a lot of customers kind of overlook the fact that the TSM Progressive Backup is a form of deduplication, and so it's so important to stress that if they start looking at comparisons numbers, not to be comparing apple and oranges, because a lot of the competitors out there are not doing a Progressive Backup, and therefore, by their nature of full plus incrementals, have a lot of deduplicated data to begin with. And so that's the clarification point I have to make a lot.
And we will now move to Lon Haas with IBM.
Hi, Tricia. Hi, Dave. I'm a storage specialist, cell specialist, and enjoyed your presentation. I want to get back to the VTL question, and more specifically, surrounding IBM's own VTL offering. We have customers where I am that are TSM today and are also interested in looking at VTL in the future, and they're interested in how we're going to come up with a data dedupe solution that incorporates our own TSM and our own VTL. And I'm wondering, are you working with are both development teams working together to make sure we have a cohesive solution? And I guess I should also ask from a product development marketing point of view.
Well, there has been a deduplication working group that is, you know, throughout all of IBM, and so there's been participation from from TSM, from, you know, the folks that work on VTL, for example. So at that level, there is awareness, there's sharing of thoughts and methodologies and that sort of thing. As far as down to the code level and product integration, no, there is really nothing at this point where, you know, the two would actually share some kind of deduplication mechanism or anything like that. I would view it as you do it one place or do it the other, but not in both.
Okay.
Now, we are looking at beyond 6.1, possible additional integrations, for example, with IBM VTL, but not specifically in the area of deduplication.
Okay. Certainly that's, I would just vote, if I could vote, that we do whatever we can to, much like the SAN volume controller has, it leverages and pulls in incremental IBM storage solutions, keeps customers from looking elsewhere. Thanks a lot for the presentation.
Another clarification point I wanted to make is that, remember when we talked about land free, that TSM can also do land free to disk storage pools, and those disk storage pools would be deduped, would be available for deduplication. And then, Dave, a question for you that came across my same time was, how will dedupe, TSM dedupe, work with hardware dedupe that's out there?
Well, by hardware, you mean like an appliance, for example.
Correct.
I view them as kind of either or. There will be no integration. I mean, TSM's deduplication is very tightly coupled with TSM. The index will be in the database. TSM is very aware of what needs to be done to deduplicate data. So it's very, very tightly, you know, integrated with TSM. Whereas, an appliance is just a storage appliance, the TSM. TSM doesn't know that it's deduplicating. And anything that the appliance is doing to be TSM aware is probably by reverse engineering. So there's much less of a tight coupling taking place if data is put into a deduplicating storage device. That's not to say that, you know, that's bad or anything like that, but TSM's own deduplication will be a more of an integrated solution.
And we will now move to Scott McCloud with Moore Group, Inc.
Hi, this is actually Jim Reichardt. I guess a couple of questions that seem to have been answered. One of my questions would be, with Land Free, does the makeup of TSM change, or do the architecture for implementing Land Free in a disk environment change? Do you still need the Synergy product, or is that changing with 6.1 and DB2 and possibly a different or a three-tiered architecture, client, media, and server type of makeup?
Okay, so that's a good question, and probably we should have gotten into this a little bit when I answered the question earlier about Land Free. So today, LAN free to disk, and I'm talking native disk here as opposed to, say, a VTL, LAN free to disk really can be done requires one of two different software solutions. Synergy, which is the primary mechanism, or it requires that the target disk be SANFS. And SANFS is really not, it's stabilized at this point. The plan is also in 6.1 to add support for GPFS, so that LAN free to GPFS would also be possible. So there will be some additional options, one additional option in addition to those that would be available today.
Okay, I guess another question I have is, if you have multiple instances of TSM, is there hash sharing or mechanism to dedupe if I have multiple instances of TSM pointing to the same disk target, or like a library sharing type of environment, even though it's on disk?
Right. No, I think the answer to that is no, but let me restate it differently and make sure that, you know, that I'm understanding your question. So let's suppose that So the scope of deduplication will be a given storage pool in a given server. So if you and I are backing up our same data to different TSM servers and we have a lot of data in common, you know, operating system files or whatever, there will not be deduplication taking place between those two servers, okay, which I think is what you're asking. Did I correctly
right.
understand the question?
Right. You know, obviously we break up workload on TSM today based on various factors, so it's not uncommon to have multiple TSM servers in the same data center. So I'm just curious if there's any way to share that, repository of common blocks amongst those servers.
Yeah, that's not anticipated for 6.1. I mean, anything is possible in the future, particularly as you go to DB2, a lot of possibilities open up. Sometimes we're asked, well, why not share across storage pools? And that may not actually be desirable. So we've decided that the scope will be a single storage pool. Let me just give maybe one example why that may not be desirable to share across storage pools. Let's suppose that you have HSM data. So you've got, TSM for space management storing data into one storage pool, and you've got backup storing, much of the same data into a different storage pool. you probably don't want those deduplicating against each other, because then you end up with only one instance of the data. And, you know, TSM has emphasized for years that HSM is not backup, and there should be an additional backup, you know, for protection against media failure and that sort of thing. So that would just be a simple example of why maybe deduplicating against, across storage pools is not desirable. But we certainly can consider in the future, you know, changes to scope, making it optional or controllable or whatever, but in TSM 6.1, the intent is within a single storage pool.
Well, thank you very much. I guess I forget the gentleman's name, but in the future, as this rolls out, I think replication, or the ability to replicate, your reduced amount of data, to his point, reducing the network bandwidth, as a roadmap, I think would be a big win as well. Customers are looking to do that as well.
Great, and it's very helpful for us to get this kind of feedback. So we'll definitely keep we'll keep this in mind going forward. And Tricia will pass, if she sees trends in terms of questions or whatever, she'll pass that on and give us additional things to think about or at least to respond to.
Right, and Toby just wanted me to point out that last example is one where we might actually consider using dedupe in the storage devices along with the TSM dedupe.
Okay.
We will now move to Fred Chaitowski with IBM.
Well, most of my questions have been answered. The one that I'm curious about for us to use selling as an interim step until we actually get a deduplication solution is, have we done any benchmarking in terms of CPU performance in terms of with dedupe enabled and it disabled? And it's just that most customers, are typically running out of headroom in terms of CPU on their backup servers. So in the meantime, it might be a good competitive position for us to take that, hey, if you turn on dedupe with your backup server, you're going to need X amount more CPU power, and the storage that you're using for deduplication is probably cheaper than re-architecting your server infrastructure.
So you're saying that would be a counterpoint to deduplication, essentially?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I mean, we have done some very, very early benchmarking, basically using a different design than what we are going to actually use ultimately. So I don't know that that's all that meaningful, but, we certainly did see that, as we would expect, that deduplication, does consume CPU as well as it is very I/O intensive. But we certainly wouldn't be in a position to give any numbers on that at this point. I'm not sure when we would be able to. We'd probably be well into next year before that would be available.
Well, here's the question: in terms of the other deduplication mechanisms, specifically the ones that the competitive products are using, if we have some numbers there, that would be helpful for us to use now.
Okay. Well, I mean, we don't have numbers now, so.
Okay. I'm just thinking of, in the interim, anything that we can give the folks out in the field, to compete against the dupe solutions until we have it might be helpful. So.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question will come from Rick Kaur with ComSat Technology.
Hello, Dave. Nice presentation.
Thank you.
Just looking for further clarification because the words have been used, sequential access and random access. On the TSM disk pools, when you refer to sequential access, are you referring to that the TSM disk pool is actually writing to a file system?
Well, yes, I am, but let me be real specific then. By, when TSM is installed out of the box, it creates three storage pools, and those are all random access disks, and they are defined by defining the disk pool and saying dev type equals disk, or I'm sorry, device class equals disk, I guess it is. A sequential access disk pool is another kind of disk format in that is supported in TSM, and it's been supported for, 12, 13 years or something like that. But it's less commonly known because it isn't the out-of-the-box configuration, and it basically involves defining a device type.
Is that more than
a device class of dev type equals file, and then defining the storage pool using that device class.
Okay.
And basically data gets written, you know, the volumes, the TSM volumes are actually files in a file system.
Okay.
And there are significant advantages to that. Those beyond the scope of this presentation, but there are significant advantages to using this sequential access disk, or also known as file, particularly when data is going to be stored on disk for long periods of time, which is exactly when you would want to use deduplication.
Right. Okay, yeah, because I'm hearing that multiple times in your discussion, and I just want to be clear on my understanding of the way you're referencing that. And that's it. That's my question. Thank you.
You might, if you want further information on that, I have a presentation that I give that goes into disk storage in quite a bit of detail and compares and contrasts. So maybe send Tricia a note, and she can, and I can get that to her and back to you.
And this is on the disk storage for TSM?
Yes.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.